tell you what, let's go to Hebrews 6, and then I want to turn back to 1 Corinthians 6, because we are, as we've been instructed this morning, to continue in the Word of God. Now, we live in a society that is driven by entertainment. I'm talking about, it's got to the point now, if you go to a church house somewhere, it's like you're going to a play or some kind of an entertainment. They got smoke, they got lights, they got bombs bursting in the air sometimes, and all kind of things going on. And it's all appealing to the flesh. Appealing to the flesh. It's very important, as Brother Jeremy instructed us this morning, from the Word of God, that we are constantly reminded what the Word of God says. I'm not sure about y'all, but I forget. Often. A lot. I forget people. If I'm around you, for an example, there's some people that's come to church here for about 3 months. I meet them, I greet them, I get to know them a little bit, and then they move off or whatever, and I'll see them a year later in the grocery store. Hey, Brother Jimmy, I say, hey, man, how you doing? I ain't got a clue who they are. Don't have a clue. Can't remember. What's worse than that is that I can get up in the morning, prop my head up, read the Word of God, enjoy it, feed upon it, leave, and forget half of what I read. I can be taught doctrines, and we've taken Bible doctrine classes, Deep South Bible College. We've taught them here. Very important. That's one reason I like teaching them, because it helps me to remember these Bible doctrines. And I forget things. I was quizzing Brother Pat yesterday morning. He probably didn't know, but I was quizzing him on some things. We had a men's Bible study. Just seeing him, and he did great. Probably shouldn't have said that on my shirt. His whole head's going to swell up now. But he did real good on some things and helped me. I said, Lord, that was good. That helped me. But do you know what we are? We're fallible. We are people who are prone to error. And we have something inside of us right here that the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, is the most deceitful and wicked thing on the face of the earth. It's called our heart. Called our heart. We cannot trust and we cannot follow our heart, because it will lead us astray every time. It'll fool us. And it'll make us fools. Let's go to, hold your place on Hebrews 6. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. This passage of Scripture was just, I want to read it this morning. 1 Corinthians 6, we'll start in verse 9. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The unrighteous here is speaking of those who were lost, those who were not saved. It says, be not deceived. Now remember, we will, and I know most of us know this, but we will deceive ourselves. That's why it's very important to know that we are saved according to the Word of God. This was stressed this morning as Brother Jeremy was teaching out of 2 Peter. That we know without a shadow of a doubt. How can we know without a shadow of a doubt that we're saved? Can we look back at an experience? No, because we can fool ourselves. Have y'all ever had an event happen in your life, and every time you tell it, it gets different because you can't quite remember everything? Or you may tell it one way and someone else tells it another way, and both of you think you're right. What's going on there? Well, we don't see the whole picture, do we? We can't trust our experiences, folks. They're always changing. We can't trust our feelings, Kim, because they're always changing. We can't trust our hearts. So here are some people in the Church of Corinth who proclaim to be Christians. They say they are saved. And then here the Holy Spirit gives us these verses, and the Apostle Paul writes these things down, that these are evidences that they are not saved, though they say they're saved. It says, be not deceived. Here are some lifestyles. Listen, folks, if you live these lifestyles, or if you have lived these lifestyles, Since you made a profession of faith, the Bible plainly says that you were not and that you are not saved. Now, if you're not saved, what's that mean? That means you're lost. What's it mean if you're lost? What's that mean? That means you're headed to a devil's hell. And that you need deliverance. And the only one that can deliver you is Jesus Christ. Him and Him alone. That's God's plan. It says in verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators." Fornication. Most of the kids in here are know what these things are, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Fornication is any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage. That's fornication. Someone can live in fornication and live that lifestyle. The Bible says that they are not saved. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind. That's speaking of homosexuals. Verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers. What's a reveler? Well, a reveler is a gathering of drunkards, such as bars, casinos, Mardi Gras, just parties where people are just sitting around getting drunk. That is revelers. Nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? I'm not sure about y'all, but I need people to be straightforward with me. I need the scriptures to be straightforward with me. I need a scripture sometimes to hit me right in the gut. Sometimes to hit me right in the face. I need this. Why? I'm wicked. My flesh is at enmity against God, the Bible says. And I'm reminded of that every day. By the thoughts that I have, the things that I want to do. Paul spoke about that in Romans chapter 7. This constant battle with the flesh. Constant battle. It's very important that we know that we are saved. Very important. If you don't know if you're saved or not, I would encourage you today, before you leave, young or old, to ask someone. I know we got food in the back here, but folks, I ain't got to eat. I ain't ate since yesterday anyway. I ain't got to eat today. I'll eat tomorrow. But if you got questions about salvation, if you're truly saved or not, please ask someone. This morning, I want to look at you and I. After we know we're saved, we're not to be a spiritual bum. Not a spiritual bum. It's no secret that we are a spoiled people. We want everything just right, don't we? I laugh at my wife sometimes. And yes, my wife, Toya, does drive me crazy. And I'm thankful for that. Because if she didn't, I'd just be a plain old sane person. And that wouldn't be good. But I watch her. Sometimes she'll come out of our room, and our room is nice. It's cozy. It's a paradise, basically. And she leaves our room, and she'll, "Ooh, it's cold. I'm going to turn the heater on." What are you doing? Open the door up. It's hot outside. Let some of that heat in. Save the money. Amen. And the point I'm making here is that we are bad. Miss Lachelle is kind of grinning there, Brother Darrell. The point I'm making here is that we say, "Oh, I'm hot. Let me turn the air on. I'm cold. Let me turn the air on. I want it just right for me." It's illegal to touch the, I say it's probably a sin to touch the air conditioners here at the church. Amen. We put it on one thing. It stays there. If you get mad, you get mad at me. And that's okay because I got thick skin. But we want everything just right, don't we? Just right. We want things our way. We like Burger King. We don't like those who don't do right. We don't like those who are bums, most of us. We scoff at those who are waiting on handouts, don't we? We scoff at them because they're waiting on us to get up to go to work so they can have their handout. Now, I understand that there are those who are legitimately in a bind and need help. I understand that. But we also know that there are millions who are abusing the system. And they depend on us to go out and build this country so they can enjoy it. This doesn't sit well with us, does it? Come on, y'all be honest. No, it doesn't, does it? We want to yell, "Get up, you sluggard, and go to work." In the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, I'm going to read some scripture here. Look at the Hebrews just a second. In Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. The Bible says, "I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down." Brother Jeremy talked about building that wall for the city. Here they would build walls around the fields to keep varmints out, to help protect, to keep thieves out. The field hadn't been worked. It was being taken over by brush, by nettles. The stone wall was broken down. He says in verse 32, "Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction." Watch what he says. "Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." Just a little sleep. Just a little slumber. A little folding of the hands. Where am I going with this? This is where I'm going with this. You and I don't need to be a spiritual bum. We don't need to be procrastinators, putting these things off. May we receive instruction this morning. So, let's read Hebrews 6, verse 1. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Father, we ask you to help us to receive instruction from your word this morning. May we be obedient for your honor and your glory. In Christ's name, amen. How many of us are spiritual bums? We'll hang out and feed upon the crumbs that others drop from their tables. We're kicked back watching others go to work for us in the ministry. And we just said a while ago that we don't like these kinds of people, right? Or I should say, we're not happy with them. Didn't we just say that? Because we're doing all the work and they're enjoying their lives and we ain't got time to enjoy it because we continue to do what? Work. And I understand that we're not working for them, right? Again, I want to point out there are those who really have a need, and yes, I'm glad we can help those people. But how about when it comes to spiritual matters? We glean from other people's labors, and we should. But often we glean while we put very little to no effort to study ourselves. I'm glad we have commentaries, and I'd encourage you to read commentaries, but don't be a commentary junkie to where you just write down what's in the commentary on your paper without studying yourself. We become spiritual bums on spiritual welfare. I keep using the word "we" here because no one's exempt. And I wonder, where are we at as a church? And yes, we have grown, and yes, we are grounded in some areas. But listen, folks, we can't stop. We can't say, "I've gotten to a certain place in my spiritual life. I've gotten to a certain place in knowledge. I'm good here. I'm just going to hang out." We've got to keep growing and going forward for Jesus Christ. You know, there are a bunch of junk out there today. Talked to a guy this week. It was just amazing. We were talking about our youngest daughter, Anna. This is the first time I met this guy. And I gave him a little card about Anna. And all. He looked at it. He said, "Oh, okay." He said, "Have you heard of the CBD oil?" I said, "Yes, we have. We've heard of that. That's the cannabis oil that they get from the marijuana plant. This oil cannot get you high, okay? You can't get high on this cannabis oil. Can't do it, if I understand it correctly. You can probably ask Brother Brandon. He's with the probation parole. He's a cop, amen? So just in case y'all have any questions about that. But here's the thing. It helps people with seizures. It helps people with cancer. It's amazing how God made this plant, okay? Who abuses this? Man does. So we're talking, and he started telling me about that they done a study and come to find out that that's the kind of all that Jesus was anointed with. So, you know, things are starting to go off in my mind like, hey, whoa, what's going on here? Oh, yeah, they did a study on the Hebrew word. I said, well, first of all, so the New Testament was written in Greek. He said, well, this was a Hebrew word. I said, okay. So I just was quiet. He kept going. He said, man, they covered him all, and that's why he went to sleep. I said, whoa. I said, are you saying that they're saying that Christ didn't really die, that he just went to sleep because he was covered in cannabis oil? Well, it's not a church thing. He said, and they started a new religion off of this. I said, I bet they did. He said, and the next step up from the cannabis oil is the RTF. I said, what is RTF? He said, we're laughing. Because that's ridiculous. Why is it ridiculous to us? We know better. How do we know better? Scriptures. Scriptures. Constantly being brought to remembrance. Constantly being taught. In context. Not taking a text and taking a fit. But allowing us to grow, become mature, and become strong in the Word of God. So that when we hear stuff like that, I'm not going to share with you all the stuff I hear, but that's crazy, amen? That we can say, no. How many people will say, really, I've never heard it. That's pretty cool. That's pretty neat. I have to check into that. We must be building upon Christ. And we must examine ourselves according to the Scriptures. As Brother Jeremy pointed out, first of all, to make sure we're saved. And then also to make sure we are growing in the Word. Look at this word, therefore, in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. The word therefore here means the writer is drawing a conclusion from what was previously said. So, let's go back to verse 11 of chapter 5. See what was previously said here in context. Verse 11 of Hebrews 5. Of whom we have many things to say to you, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Wow. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles or the doctrines of God. Oracles there means doctrines. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It's obvious from these verses that the recipients of this letter had gone backwards, not forwards in spiritual growth. By this time, the Bible says they should have been able to teach others, to help others, to instruct others. But here, at this time, they need to be instructed again. They should be able to feed upon the meat of the Scripture, but all they can handle is the milk. That's it. I want to remind us that there is not milk and meat Scriptures. There's only Scripture with milk and meat in that Scripture. We feed upon what we are able to swallow. An infant cannot eat a steak, can it? Why? Because, well, the little guy can't chew it up. He'll choke. Say, well, I can grind it up. His digestive system can't handle it. Why? Because he's an infant. But as he grows, as he matures, as his body grows, he's able to handle these things, correct? Right. You and I are the same way in spiritual matters. We must grow in the Word of God. In context, rightly divided. As born-again believers, listen, folks, we have a choice to make. Either we can work to learn, to take in and feed upon the meat of the Scriptures, or we can sit back and suck on the old milk bottle. Here's what people say, but preacher, I don't have time to study. I don't have time to put forth much effort. Then I say, okay, all right. If this is the case, then you have given all your heart, your mind, and your soul to the things of this world, and you give God the leftovers. So this really began to provoke my mind a little bit, and a guy named Vody Bachman also helped in this area, because he preached some good stuff on this. I heard it months ago. Can you imagine a person being on a job site for 5, 10, 15, 20 years and not knowing anything? One job. Can you imagine that? Now, I've had people come up to me before, I can drive a dozer. Well, apparently, probably not, because the terminology that you just used proves that you don't know how to do what you need to do. You operate a dozer. Well, I can drive a truck. And they get in the truck and I'm going to have a new transmission for a loan. That guy stays in the truck. Well, these guys are coming and they're going. But how about someone that's been on the job for 20 years? You're new. You come in on the job. You're saying, okay, I want to learn this job. I'm new. I'm excited about being here. My first day on the job, woo, hallelujah. Here's a guy right there. You started asking around. They said, this guy here has been here 20 years. He said, that's the guy I want to be with today. Let this guy train me, because obviously he knows what's going on. He knows the ins and the outs. He knows the best way to do things. He knows how to get things accomplished. He's got to have some knowledge. Put me with him. You go with him, you walk around all day, you learn nothing. You just walk around. You look good. You got your hard hat on, your steel-toed boots on, you got your gloves on. It says, watch for fingers. You got your safety glasses on. You look cool walking around. If there's ever a Photoshop, he's there. He's always the cleanest guy. You show up on time, he gets there early. He's willing to stay late. And at the end of the day, after picking his mind all day long, picking it, you find out he don't know anything. So at the end of the day, you get aggravated and say, what do you know? He says, well, I know I get a check. And I got fire insurance. That's what I know. Now, wouldn't that be ridiculous? Got a good friend of mine here this morning, Kevin Martin, here with me this morning. Good to see y'all. He's got his own business. If someone come to you, Kevin, said they had 20 years experience, and you hired them, and they couldn't even crank the dozer, would you fire them? I would too. You got to go, because you don't know. Now, let's go back to where we've been with this. You and I as Christians, we don't need to be spiritual bums, right? We've said that we don't like spiritual bums. Right? How about a Christian who's been a Christian 5, 10, 15, 20 years and don't know nothing? Well, we can't fire them. We can't say you can't come back. We don't want to do that neither, because why? We want people to learn. We want people to grow. But how sad is it for someone to be a Christian for so long and not be able to instruct others, always needing to be the one being taught. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be taught. We all need to be taught until we die. But at some point in our lives, we should be able to start teaching others. Lord, help us. How beneficial is an employee who can't perform what he says he can do? He's not beneficial. How beneficial is a Christian who cannot help others? So I ask us this, you and I, where are we at? Yes, we're growing. Yes, we're learning the Word of God. It's easy to come in here and get lost in what we do. I'm not promoting us, but we go verse by verse through the Bible. We don't skip anything. We don't hide from anything. The Bible says that's what we teach, even if we don't like it. So, saying that, how are we doing? Are we strong? We appear to be. Are we strong in the faith? Can we help others with doctrines? If we had a new convert come in or someone who was just saved, can we help them with a doctrine of imputation? Can we help them with the doctrine of eternal security of the believer? Can we help them with the doctrine of eternal judgment? How about the doctrine of the last things? About the doctrines of angels, the doctrines of demons, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of God, the doctrine of Scripture. We could go on and on and on and say, oh, but that's things that you learn in school. No, it's not. Listen, the doctrines is the teachings of the Bible. How about the Trinity? So important that we not just read these words as it is something that some man wrote, but that we are reading, listen, the mind of Christ. What do we do as we learn these things and as we grow in these areas? Listen, we are all growing together. A strong congregation. A strong city that has these walls built around it so that heresies, yes, it's going to come, it's going to attack, but we can withstand it because we are grounded upon the Word of God. There will be different things that we can all study on, that we can all help each other in these different areas. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 13, he says, I write unto you fathers because ye have known of him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children because ye have known the Father. What's he doing? Well, he's showing us that there are different growths for the Christian. There's fathers, those who are mature. There's young men, those who are strong. And there are babes in Christ. And we need all three in the church. This is not speaking of spiritual age, folks. I mean, this is not speaking of a physical age, but a spiritual age. You can be 50 years old and be a babe in Christ. You can be 25 years old and be a father in Christ. A mature person in Christ. A person is not mature because he can holler, because he's got good phrases or good sayings. That's not a mature person in Christ. Someone is mature when they are grounded upon the Word of God. Listen. Filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit, living for Jesus Christ. We are to grow in the faith. Where does our faith come from? There is a thing that we hear all the time, got to have faith. Especially when you talk about the New Orleans Saints. Got to have faith. And that's wrong, amen? People have this idea of faith that it's feelings, it's emotions. How about this? Positive thinking. I got faith. When you say you got faith, what do you mean? I got little faith. I got big faith. You ain't got enough faith. When you say I ain't got enough faith, what do you mean? It's a good question to ask. I had some other things I could tell today, but I won't from this week, just from meeting with people. But folks, our faith is built from the Word of God. And our faith is built upon the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We know that verse, don't we? We say it all the time. It's repetition. We know it. We hear it. And then we learn this morning again from 2 Peter chapter 1 that we are to add to our faith. This adding to our faith is not again feelings. It's by studying the Word of God. I want to remind us that trials do not grow our faith. Trials try our faith. Trials show us where our faith is at. Thank God for trials. Everyone's faith will be tested. Everyone. And where we are in our walk with Christ at that time will be made known. The church is in desperate need today for mature Christians. Those who are truly mature, not those who think they are. Mature Christians help others as they go through trials also. Ain't it good to have someone there with you to aid you, to pray for you, to truly help you? Hope. Where's our hope at? It's in the Word of God, which points us to Jesus Christ. So ultimately our hope is in Christ. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred maketh the soul sick. So what are we to do? Well, according here to verse 1 of chapter 6, we are to be of strong meat, as we just read in chapter 5. Not be unskillful in the Word, but to have experience in the Word. And then it says, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on to perfection. The writer of Hebrews here is stating the fact they have already left the Word of the beginning of Christ. He's speaking to the Jews here, by the way. They've left the types and the pictures and shadows of the one to come, and they've turned to Christ. It's not beneficial to keep looking back when we're to be going forward for Christ. And when we are to be looking for Christ to return, look forward. Keep going forward. And of course, I know that you and I are not Jewish, and we don't have this Jewish background of of all these types and pictures here. But we are also to go forward for Christ. As has been mentioned this morning quite a few times, we should never forget what Christ has done for us. Folks, I know where I was headed. How do I know that? By the Word of God. The Lord saved my soul when I was 25 years old. 25 years old. I said I was saved at 13. Made a profession of faith, felt good, all those things. Joined the church, baptized. Even read scripture from behind the pulpit, led songs, took up the offering, all those things. But was never saved. Never saved. 25 years old, the Lord interrupted my life. Not a great experience. Not a rush of emotions. A simple childlike faith. I trusted Him. And He radically transformed my life. I have never been the same since then. Never. Did I do that? I couldn't do that. You can't do that. Only Christ can do that. Listen, folks, we are born dead in trespasses and sins. Spiritually dead. And we can't make this old dead body do right. God must quicken us, make us alive, is what the Bible says. He draws us to Himself. He saves us. He makes us different. And we are never the same after that. Never. And once we're saved, listen, folks, that... Can y'all think back and remember when the Lord saved you? Was that wonderful? I mean, it was just... It was a new relationship. New. But Jeremy mentioned a while ago about relationships get old after a while. And they do. How about our spiritual relationship? Sometimes we get in cruise control mode. And at one time we had this zeal, this fervor. We was excited and telling everybody about what the Lord done for us. And then over time, we stopped. At one time, possibly in your life, if you were a Christian, obviously, at one time you loved the Word of God. You couldn't stay away from it. You loved to study it. Just learning was amazing. You was feeding upon the Word of God. You was getting fat. Amen? On the Word of God. Folks, we just can't stay saying, oh, I know I'm saved, and stay there. All I know is that I'm saved. I don't want to know anything else. Well, you're a fool. We are to go on to know who Christ is. The Christ of the Bible. The God of the Bible. What does this mean to go on unto perfection? Here's a quote from A.W. Pink. Let us go on unto perfection as reference to the apprehension of the divine revelation of the full glory of Christ in His person, perfections, and position. It is from the practical side a perfection of knowledge spiritually imparted by the Holy Spirit to the understanding and heart. Growing in the Word of God by the grace of God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, folks, this is the Apostle Paul writing here. The Apostle Paul. Let me say it again, the Apostle Paul. A hero of the faith. A man that when we look at him say, man, he may have been short in stature, under 5 foot tall, but he was huge with intellect, knowledge of the Word of God, a spiritual hero. I mean, I picture him as being a spiritual Superman going on there and just busting walls down. Amen? He didn't do that, but that's just a picture I'm giving us this morning. Here he's saying he has not attained. Nor was he already perfect. Look, he says in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. As Brother Jeremy mentioned this morning, these are stirring scriptures. Stirring scriptures. The Apostle Paul had a desire to see the Word of God and to grow in the Lord. We too ought to be stirred to press on. We got so much junk in this world that just consumes us, doesn't it? I mean, we could just name things, just continue. All of us could stand up and just start naming things continually that pulls our minds away from the Lord. Folks, understand that we do not grow to get a button on our shirt saying, I'm growing. Right. We grow, please hear me, we grow when we want to. Do we have a choice to make? Nope. We grow when we want to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Philippians 3, 8 through 10. Yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is not, or which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You know, Christ was obedient, even unto death. And folks, this is not easy. This is not easy. And I'm not just saying it. From experience, every day. It's not like we say, okay, I got a whip today, I'm good forever. No. We must whip this flesh every day. Every day. So how do I do this? Good question, right? How do I do this? Well, first of all, if you love your flesh, you don't want to know. If you don't like talk about crucifying flesh, then you don't want to hear it. But first of all, we do this by dependence upon the Lord. We need God for help in this area, all areas. Folks, our flesh is against us. Who here just loves it when the alarm clock goes off in the morning? You get up all chippy. You happy. You're doing a little dance as you go into the coffee pot. You singing songs. You shouting it out. Anybody? Besides Brother Darrell? We don't, do we? You a liar, Jericho. Ain't he, Brother Clint? Gets up early. Well, help your brothers get up. Our flesh doesn't want to do the things of God. Our flesh does not want to get up, listen, and do things for the Lord. Our flesh says, let's get up, let's put some coffee on because I like that, and let's watch the news. Well, let's read the paper. Or let's get on Facebook. Or picture gram, whatever that stuff's called. Some kind of gram stuff. Gram and ham and ham. I don't know. But flesh says, let's do all these things. Flesh says, let's look at Christian news. That's the same as reading the Bible, isn't it? No, it's not. Our flesh is against us, so don't listen to it. So I ask myself this question. Okay, as a pastor, what is my responsibility as a pastor? Well, I am to pray without ceasing. I am to study the Scriptures. Faithfully teach whoever I can, whenever I can. And proclaim Christ to all that I can, all the time. Sound pretty good, doesn't it? Okay. As a church member, what is your responsibility? Your responsibility is to pray without ceasing, to study the Scriptures, to faithfully teach whoever you can, whenever you can, wherever you can, and proclaim Christ to all the world, all the time. Okay. Let's put to the side pastor and church member as a Christian. What is my responsibility? What should I do? Same thing. Pray without ceasing. Study the Scriptures. Faithfully teach to whoever I can, whenever I can, wherever I can, and proclaim Christ to all that I can, all the time. And folks, when we teach other people, God holds us accountable. Right. We better know what we're teaching. And it better be right. That scares me. Lots of folk are opinionated. Most of us are. Lots of folk want to be philosophers. But folks, we've got to simply proclaim the Word of God. Growing is not easy. And it does not happen overnight. obviously, looking around, I don't think anyone in here goes to the gym. No offense. But, I mean, y'all took that the wrong way. I'm talking about there's no one in here walking around all. Probably the stoutest one here is probably Brother Brandon. Stoutest one. Tracy, sorry. Tracy, how much can you bench press? Even? Is that max or that's working out? That's max. That's my brother-in-law, by the way. What's the most you've ever maxed out, Tracy? That blows my mind. I mean, that's like picking up a cow, saying, "Hey, what y'all need? Where you want him at?" How long did that take, Tracy?
Years.
It didn't happen overnight, did it? But you worked at it. 15 years old. How old are you now? 43. You can still do 600 pounds. But working at it. For you not to grow in the faith. We are dependent upon the Lord. We cannot forget that. But we just can't say, "Lord, I'm dependent on you."
Right.
And that's it. We've got to put it into action.
Yep.
We've got to work at it. To grow in the faith. To add to our faith these things. Amen. We got to crucify the flesh. Now, this is a long service, but we told y'all it would be before we started. We don't usually get out this late. But you know, usually we have fried chicken to eat. And I didn't see the first box of fried chicken come in. So I'm going to preach another 10, 15 minutes. At least. No, I'm joking. Let's not be spiritual bums. Let's not be spiritual bums. Let us continue on to know Christ. The Lord has blessed us, hasn't He? And we are growing. We're all growing. But may we continue to grow. Lord, I want to say thank you for everyone who's fixed this week.